Good morning. It is Thursday, August 27th at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you are tuned into the KRFY Morning Show with Jim and Jack on yet another smoky Thursday morning, which is we are 2 weeks into the Clark Fork fire officially, and it continues. We have in studio this morning a few guests from the Edible Schoolyard Project, but first let's take a look at the weather for the upcoming weekend. We have a high of 86 degrees today, currently 54, and well, if you can see outside of the smoke, it's mostly sunny, but it's pretty smoky out here right now and should continue to be smoky for a while. until September. It's going to get down into the low 50s tonight. Patchy smoke continues all through the weekend. Highs in the low 80s throughout the weekend. And good news, thank goodness, it is going to cool down come Sunday, it looks like. Should be cooling down, and we are getting a higher chance of rain shower. Sometime this weekend, we should get a little bit of rain if everyone does their rain dance, as I saw Velma Queen of Fun do last night, actually. She's doing her part, so. Yeah,
that's right. She does a bang-up job. I did a smoke dance yesterday. Uh-huh. I did it with Platters, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, the band Smoke Signals. But we might not even make it to September. Wouldn't that be nice if rain fell on Sunday and Monday like it's supposed to? That would certainly be a big help.
That would be absolutely wonderful, especially for those of us out in the Clark Fork area, which fingers crossed for you. There's a community meeting tonight about this, about the current ongoing Clark Fork Complex fire that is going on tonight at Camp Elohim. You'll have to check my pronunciation on that, but it's on Bull Lake Road over in Montana. That's tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. Montana time, so 5 o'clock our time.
Higher math, higher math.
That's right, yeah. Jim, who else is sitting around our table this morning?
Well, we have a cluster?
I think so,
okay, we have a cluster of group of folk up here from the Edible Schoolyard Garden Project. We have Perky Smith Hagedon. She is the principal of Kootenai Elementary School of the Lake Pend'Oreille School District. Good morning, Perky.
Good morning. Thank you for letting us be here today.
You're welcome. And with Perky, we have Michelle Murphy. She is one of the founders, organizers, and the main source of energy behind the Schoolyard Garden Project. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Great to see you both again.
It's good to see you. And this is an exciting time of year, isn't it, for a garden? Because everything is coming forth.
It's been a tough year for gardens. It's been a little warm out there, so we're doing what we can, though.
Okay, because when I go to the farmer's market, there is just a plethora, how's that for a word, of veggies and good things and flowers. And then Vicki Reich, co-owner of Idaho Poor Authority, and Vicki, we're going to talk later on, has generously donated a neat bike for raffle proceeds going to the Schoolyard Project. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning.
Good to see you all here. We're going to start with a question to Perky, because like many school folks at this time of year, they're scrambling around to meetings and getting ready for the school year. And Perky has to exit for a 9 o'clock meeting. And so we're going to start with Perky. Could you give a little bit of history behind the Schoolyard Garden Project and the importance of it to the curriculum?
Okay, so we started this project 6 years ago. And it started with Michelle, who will talk about that.
Michelle.
Yay. We just referred to her as the Energizer Bunny, and it definitely is
does
the perfect
have that
description of Michelle. She approached Northside Elementary 6 years ago, and they have worked as a team for 6 years to develop an amazing edible garden out at Northside Elementary. So my part is to talk about the educational benefits of edible gardens in the Lake Pend'Oreille School District. And it's also expanding to private schools as well because of the importance of it. Waldorf is starting a new project that she'll talk about. But in the Lake Pendere School District, we are committed to the learning, to addressing the learning styles of all of our students. So we're starting an adventure into experiential learning in the Lake Pendere School District. And right now we have two classrooms. And a little history on experiential learning is that you help students learn by doing, getting their hands dirty, getting into real life projects, and having them be a part of every aspect of it. So the gardens were the precursor of this type of learning. And so what the children do is they not only work the gardens, they start at the very beginning. They're presented with seed catalogs. They pick out the seeds. Then they sit in teams and they plan how their garden is going to look within the raised beds. They consider weather. They consider growing season. They consider the height of the plants. There's a lot of planning that goes into it. And with very little direction from the adults. You know, we have master gardeners that we could not thank enough.
Absolutely.
Gail Burkett has been there for 6 years, never falters. She doesn't even have a child at Northside. She just comes, and she's been doing it for 6 years as well. The gardens are experiential learning at its very, very best. And we're really excited about our partnership with Michelle.
Thanks. Can you talk a little bit, Perky, about the students themselves involved in this activity? What do you see as a school administrator happening with the children? And could you talk about the age range, too? What grades are we talking about?
Right. All the students at every school that's involved, and Michelle will talk about all the other schools as well, every age, K through 6, is invited to come. And so we send out a notice, we're going to have a garden club, and 30 children will show up. Now, some of the schools are doing it differently, where it's going to become part of a classroom curriculum, which mm-hmm. we're really excited about. But all children are invited to be a part. And so the older kids, it is also cooperative learning. There's so many learning styles that are addressed. But the older kids work with the younger kids. They become partners. They become mentors. It promotes leadership. I mean, everything about it is just amazing. And I forgot your other question.
Yeah, but if I can just mention, sure. too, it's really interesting yeah. to see. Like,
I forgot it, too. So
I know. The older kids, it's fantastic to see how they work as a team. Like, the older kids will, like, you know, just hold the hands of the younger kids. And if there's kids with special needs, they're all just gathering as a team to work together. There's no bullying. Mm-hmm. It's just been fantastic. And some of the kids that started maybe at Northside in second grade are now in middle school. Mm-hmm. And so they're helping me to, I did a program at the library, so they're helping me to teach the younger kids how to garden as well. So it's nice to see that, you know, that they're paying it back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the students that join stay members till they graduate.
Right.
And then they go on to do other things. Like
right.
Michelle just
And they
talked
have
about.
Gardens at home as mm-hmm. well. And they're teaching their parents how to garden. Like, you know, they're saying, one of the corn kids said, oh, dad, you know, you're watering it too much. It's yellow. And so, you know, it's just like a part of their life skills now.
Right. They actually learn how to pollinate. I mean, they learn how to collect the seeds. It's enormous.
It's incredible, because what you're really teaching is a life skill, mm-hmm. is something that will carry, that they'll carry with them throughout mm-hmm. their entire lives if they choose to pursue growing vegetables and flowers and things like that. Right. Now, when you talk about the Edible Schoolyard Garden Project, obviously it's vegetables. Do you also do flowers?
We do some edible flowers, a little bit of fruit, mm-hmm. primarily vegetables.
Mm-hmm. At Northside, and I know the other gardens are doing it as well, we went to a more sustainable garden, something that didn't need a lot of tending. So we actually have blueberries, we have raspberries, we have rhubarb, and we have the most amazing strawberry patch you have ever seen.
And the rabbits haven't discovered it yet.
No.
Huh?
For some, the first year we had some deer. But
deer.
We haven't had any deer.
And then
since.
We had the gopher invasion at Northside.
Oh, that was bad. But that bad. Prompted the improvements.
Right. When we started at Northside, it was just pretty much two dirt piles mm-hmm. full of lettuce. And then the gophers came in and helped themselves to all the lettuce. But then all these businesses came in and mm-hmm. said, we heard you had a problem. We want to donate this. The manager of Walmart mm-hmm. literally just walked into Northside and said, here's $1,000 for your garden project. So now it's turned into 18 raised beds with landscaping. And then Home Depot and Team Depot came in and built a white picket fence around it. Mm-hmm. So,
And Tom's Clark donated all that this cedar. Incredible cedar. And he pre-cut all the garden boxes. So Cedar Hills Church could put them together in no time.
They came out with, an army of people and built all those beds and put them together and filled the soil. And so
the community has been instrumental in every single garden. At Washington School, wasn't it the Elks? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm a member of Cedar Hills Church, and during the 5-minute communication period, I met Bob Hike, who's a board member of the Elks, and started talking about some of the youth projects that we were doing. He said, you should talk to my board. So about 2 days later, I went and talked to a couple board members, and within a week, I had $2,000 from the Elks with a Beacon grant. And the best thing about the Elks, too, I love working with the Elks, is it's a Beacon grant, so they need to be hands-on with every aspect of the project. So they come in,
they build the beds,
they fill it up. My husband doesn't have to build raised beds anymore. And so I think the Elks have given me a grant to put in the garden at Washington Elementary. Last year we did Farm and Stidwell. I met with them about a month ago at Sagal with the new principal. So I think that we're going to be going in to Sagal Elementary next spring, which leaves only one elementary school left in our county, which doesn't have a school garden. So we've almost got a garden at every single elementary school.
That is absolutely wonderful. One of the downsides that I think of having a garden at school is that students take off for the summer. Maybe you should simply not have any vacation for students so they can walk, rather than doing seasonal things.
That's right, year-round school.
Year-round school, if they really are dedicated to the garden.
That's right.
Because, when you stop and think of it, the students exit at some key times during the growing season. So that must be a challenge. Who keeps it going during the summer?
It was a challenge. And we have, I mentioned her already, Gail Burkett, who is our master gardener. And she, for 5 years, came every Monday of the summer. She showed up on her own time. And then any student that had time would come in the summertime. But it was a challenge because people are busy. Students are very, active in sports and vacations. So we had to, it's all been this learning process, slow but sure. And instead of, sometimes these projects start in the end because it gets difficult. We have just persevered and we've come up with new, more innovative ideas. So at a lot of the gardens now, we're going to, we call it the soup garden now at Northside. So everything that is grown comes to harvest in the fall instead of having like lettuce that needed to be picked all the time and kale. Everything is harvested in the fall. We did have a strawberry festival because they came on early, and a lot of students showed up because it was a party and they had strawberry shortcake and it was really fun. But in the fall, they're going to sell bags of dried beans and spices and onions and garlic and so forth.
Wouldn't you say, Perky, that part of the success of any endeavor, key people, and I look here at Michelle, and she has provided continuity. She's been with it for 6 years. Partially, it's the people behind who keep it going and sustain it. I think it's very fortunate that the North Idaho community has a committed person. Do you like the word committed?
Boy.
Dedicated.
I'm starting to believe what you're saying. I don't know.
It could not have developed into this magnitude without the energy of our Energizer Bunny.
I have to give a huge shout out to the Bonner County Gardeners Association, which was formerly the Master Gardeners. I mean, they have been key in keeping this going. Gray Henderson and Janae Dale have been phenomenal. I met with them last year and they, said, we want to take this to a new level. We want to support you. They have one of their members at every single school and they're providing instruction. They're helping the teachers. So it's not putting a lot of burden on the teachers. Yeah, they just have been phenomenal. And Gray's been going to each school. He's an expert on soil, so he's been improving the soil at every garden. And they have just been a key aspect of this being a successful program.
Mm-hmm. Would you talk, Michelle, a little bit more about how some of the schools, I think most of the schools now are developing it into one classrooms?
Yeah, thanks to Janae and Gray. We started at Northside and we would meet every week during the summertime, and we had summer crops, which we would, you know, give to the food bank. We'd share with the communities. Kids would take it home. And we just found that that was way too much work. And the energy started subsiding because people had other things to do, soccer, whatnot, during the summer. So thanks to the Master Gardeners, they're going in and like with a fourth, I think it's fourth grade at Washington. I could be wrong. Or maybe that's a Kootenai.
I think it's fourth grade at Kootenai.
Kootenai. So they'll go in with the fourth graders and plan their garden and plant in the spring. And then when they're fifth graders coming in the fall, then they will harvest what they have planted. So that seems to be a much more sustainable, user-friendly garden than having to do the whole summertime.
And that's right. You know, that the students are a grade older. So, oh, I planted these in third grade. Now I'm fourth grade. When they come back in the fall, I think as a kid, I'd love that concept.
Exactly.
You know, that I'm much more mature, like the vegetables that are growing. I like that. Yeah. That's wonderful.
And in
wonderful.
Our kindergartens, they plant a pumpkin seed.
Oh,
and then
that takes over the whole, doesn't it?
I know. But they don't, to involve the community, then
they'll go to Diane Green's, which Green Tree Naturals, right mm-hmm. down the road from Northside. Right. So Diane comes in and gives instruction to the kindergartners, and then they plant their little pumpkins in sunny Ooh. Windows. And then they have a field trip to Diane's where they plant their pumpkins and put their little name right next to right. Their little plant. Yep. And then they'll come back in the fall as first graders, and they follow the vines all through the pumpkin
How
patch until they find
that?
Their pumpkins. So that is a fun day, watching kids all in the pumpkin patch trying to find their jewel of a
but
pumpkin.
But there's a risk, isn't there? I'd probably be the student who had no pumpkin. You know, I'd follow it and there'd be nothing on it and I'd be devastated.
The secret is, I'm going to tell Diane's secret, is that she has some backup pumpkins. So everybody goes
good.
To the pumpkin.
If one didn't show up, you just move the stick over or with the student. Yeah. Like Jim's name goes
right.
over there.
Or if one pumpkin plant did not quite make it, there's a backup. So
she has lots.
It just sounds, what I'm also thinking, it could be multidisciplinary. You know, when you talk about the students picking out the seeds, the cost of, and then getting into science about how to grow them, and just all sorts of, I think, wonderful, you know, vocabulary, you know, the certain language that one deals with, learning about diseases, too much watering, what happens to, you know, when you stop and think of it, you could have a whole curriculum revolving around with different aspects, math, science, spelling. You know,
right. And that's what we're working towards with, you know, each of the teachers at each of the schools. And then we're going to be sharing that curriculum as well. So it really is growing into the curriculum now, rather just than being an after school, you know, quote unquote, garden club.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY Community Supported Radio for North Idaho. And we've been chatting with Perky, Vicky, and Michelle. Vicky hasn't said much, but we're going to get her talking shortly. Perky, you have to exit for a 9 o'clock meeting. Anything in conclusion? And then we're going to play a song, and then we'll regather around the mics without you.
Yes, I want to thank the station for giving us this opportunity to share the work that we're doing. And I also want to thank every single community member that has something to do with this project. It's truly a Sandpoint highlight.
Right.
So
KRFY,
thank you again.
They've supported us since the very beginning. I remember sending an email to Jim about, do you think you'd want to talk about this? And
Absolutely.
I got an email back.
Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. So every year we've been here. So we really appreciate it.
As you well know, at the station, we're looking to give access to the airways to people and organizations who are making an incredible difference in the quality of life up here. And you three are doing an incredible job. And Perky, have a great start to the school year.
Thank you. We are really excited.
I'm an ex-academic, so I know what it's like to... I can remember as a child, I had my Big Chief tablet and sharpened number 2 pencils. And I just love the start of the school year.
Oh, we do too.
But I have queued up a song. 50 years ago today, on this date, the number one song was Sonny and Cher, I Got You, Babe. And... We all sort of giggle. But legend has it that Sonny wrote this song in response to Bob Dylan's It Ain't Me, Babe. And rather than It Ain't Me, the One You're Looking For, whereas opposed to ever cheerful Sonny and Cher at that time, I Got You, Babe. So we're going to play not I Got You, Babe, but It Ain't Me, Babe. And we'll say goodbye to Perky, and then we'll give the mics over to Vicky and Michelle on 88.5 KRFY.
The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show. Listening to 88.5 KRFY. That was Bob Dylan. The song is It Ain't Me, Babe, which was released 50 years ago, and it prompted a response from Sonny Bono.
It was the number one song on this date in 1965.
That was the
I Got You, Babe. And they were responding to, Sonny was responding to Bob Dylan's rather negative, It Ain't Me. If you're looking for somebody to support you, look elsewhere. That's sort of brutal.
I love that song, but yeah, I understand how it could prompt a response from a more pop-oriented musician. In the studio with us today, still, we have Michelle Murphy and Vicky Reich. Vicky is the co-owner of the Idaho Poor Authority, and Michelle is the school garden coordinator for the Edible Schoolyard Project at the Lake Pendere School District. And my question for you is, school is not in session right now, so what's going on?
Right. Well, not very much, because we plant fall produce so that, all the beds are on an automatic watering system. So one of the master gardeners, or the Bonner County Gardeners Association, they go periodically and check on it to make sure the water's working, that everything's good. But it's really nice that we don't have to worry about the gardens in the summertime. So we'll plant potatoes, beets, chard, what else? Carrots, all different kinds of things that they'll come back and harvest in the fall. So in a week or so, I think that's when school starts, then they'll be back and they'll start harvesting. So
cool.
Yeah. But one of my favorite parts about the garden project is just when we first started it, we just wanted to do something really positive. I think that there was a lot of things going on, and it's like, we need to just concentrate on something positive and something great for our kids. And one of my favorite things about the garden project is how the community has just rallied around us and just supported us in so many different ways. And this is, related to Vicky, is just her generosity is amazing in donating this bike that she won. Would you say that you won it?
I guess so. I earned it. No, I
you
no.
definitely earned it.
I won it because I raised over $4,000 for the Chafe 150. And you want me to tell?
Yeah, that's amazing. It's hard to raise that much money. Sure. That is a lot of money.
I know. When I started out, I just didn't think it was that much money. So I went in there completely naive and was like, sure, I can raise $4,000. So it all started with the Chafe 150 being on my bucket list for a couple of years. And I had wanted to do it. And it takes a lot of training to ride for 150 miles. So I didn't really have the time to devote to that training until this summer. I wasn't working except for part-time at the Poor Authority. And so I think it was February or something, and Jane from Greasy Fingers was at Poor Authority, and we were talking about the Chafe, and she's like, well, this hasn't been released yet, but we're going to post on the Chafe website that if you raise $4,000, you win a bike. And I went out the next day on a training ride and was thinking about can I really do the chafe? Can I really, I had done one 150 mile ride before that, but can I do the chafe? Can I raise $4,000? I think I can raise $4,000. That's not that hard. And then I can win a bike. And I'm riding along on my bike that I've had for probably 10 years that I love, that has taken me all kinds of places. And I was like, I don't know if I really want a bike, but I guess I could win it anyway. And then I could raffle it off and give it away. And then I really liked that idea as I'm riding up a big steep hill. And I was like, well, what would I raffle it off for? Where would I give the money? And the money for the chafe goes to autism education and in the Lake Pendere School District. And so I thought, well, I know Perky and I knew about the garden project and I really loved that idea. And Michelle and I had met when I was working at Winter Ridge, and she came to an event that we had, and we're teaching kids about planting. And I was like, I could give the money to the school, still go to the school district, but specifically for the garden project, which I personally have a lot more stake in, I guess. I love good food. I've been in the natural foods industry for 20 years. So that to me sounded like something that I wanted to do. So on that 20 mile training ride, I was like, I had a plan. And the next day I started my site and was able to raise $4,663 for autism education. And part of it, I think the reason that I was able to raise that was because the whole time I was also telling people, well, if I raise this amount of money, I'm going to turn around with this bike that I win and raise even more money for some other cause, for the gardens. And I guess it resonated with people because I was able to raise it all with,
well, yeah,
with time to spare.
It's for you doubled up. It's for, if you donated to the one, you were also already pre-donating to another one. Yes. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very attractive.
Yeah.
Well, when does the raffle actually occur? Go ahead.
Before we talk about when the raffle is occurring and where you can buy tickets, I just want to mention Greasy Fingers because they were donating the bike for the chafe. And when I talked to them and I told them about my idea, the bike that they were planning on donating was something that they didn't keep in stock. And I was like, this bike is not for me, so I can't tell you what size bike I need. Is there any way that you can donate a bike that maybe you have in stock so that whoever wins it can get the size bike that they need? And they thought about it for a little bit and they decided that they would up their ante. They donated an even more expensive bike, but it's something that they have in stock so that whoever wins a bike that's the right size for them, not just the one that I have on display at the Poor Authority. So thank you, Greasy Fingers, for being even more generous with your donation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And tell them about the bike. It's a really nice bike. I think the value is it $1,650?
Yeah, $1,650.
We have a picture of it. We can hold it up to one of the mics.
And so the tickets are on sale at Idaho Poor Authority they're $10 a piece or 3 for $20. And they're also on sale at Greasy Fingers, All Seasons Garden,
Alpine Shop, and Sandpoint Sports.
And then the raffle is going to take place at Idaho Poor Authority on September 15th. We're having a fundraiser for the Washington School. And so we thought that would be an appropriate place to pick the winner. So you have plenty of time still to come in and buy tickets.
One more time, where can tickets be purchased?
So Idaho Poor Authority.
On Cedar.
On Cedar. Greasy Fingers on
Third and Pine.
Third and Pine. All Seasons Gardens out on the Highway 200. Sandpoint Sports, which is on Highway 95 in Pendere.
And Alpine Shop.
Alpine Shop on Church.
And if I could throw a word out for the raffle, is that it's a great cause for which the money goes to. Like, for example, I just purchased three tickets, and I think one of them is the winning. I don't know which one, but I'm sitting here thinking, I have my old, like, Schwinn bike, you know, that has, like, you know, as my partner says, I should put streamers on the handlebars, you know, that sort of thing. But I have a couple stuffed little things hanging from my basket. But I don't know if I want a new bike, but I'm thinking, you know, maybe we could raffle it off here as a fundraiser for the radio station. So in other in other words, if even if you don't need a new bike, you know, it's a great way to make a donation to the Edible Schoolyard Garden Project, the Garden Club, and then rethink about, you could redonate it, you could redo something with it. And I think, Vicki, this is just a great idea, you know, that's giving other people great ideas.
I've had a lot of people say, you know, I don't really need this bike, but I could probably do something with it. I could give it away. I could auction it off again.
There you go. Absolutely. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. We've been talking with Vicki Reich with the Idaho Poor Authority and Michelle Murphy. And now, you know, Perky had to leave for a meeting. And I know now that Vicki has a meeting coming up. Anything in conclusion, Vicki, before we let you out the door and then we have Michelle to ourselves?
Wow, you just put me on the spot. I don't know.
Oh, I just want to say this is so amazing. I've been writing so many different grants. You know, it is a sustainable project, but this, the money that's going to be raised from this event is going to keep us going for many, many, many years. So I don't need to write a grant, and it's, you know, sharing with all the elementary schools. So we are just so grateful to Vicki. And, you know, not only the money it's raised, but we've been giving some presentations. We gave a presentation to the Chamber Chicks. So it's getting the word out there, too, about our garden. We're going to be at the district luncheon next week. So I mean, just her generosity and what we were just saying about, you know, some people are saying like, well, if I win the bike, I'm just going to redonate it and we'll wrap it off again. So just one idea out on a bike ride has just turned into this marvelous, marvelous event.
And, so, and a big you. And a big shout out to Idaho Poor Authority, an organization and a business that just does incredible things in the community. I know that in October, there is going to be a fundraiser for KRFY at Idaho Poor Authority. So a big thanks to Vicki and John for all the support they give many organizations at the Idaho Poor Authority.
It's pretty fun to own your own business and be able to support so many organizations in town, more than we could support just as individuals.
I think we feel the same way here at the radio station, that it's really an honor and fun to be able to have people like you come on the air and share the wonderful things that you're doing for the community. You know, it sort of works both ways. So, Vicki, thank you so much.
So I thought of something.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my, on the air? Oh, no.
A customer was in Poor Authority the other day, and well, it was a couple weeks ago, and he said, so how much have you raised so far? And I was like, I'm not sure. Maybe around, at that point, it was probably a little less than $500. And he's like, well, how much are you trying to raise? And I hadn't thought about that. He's like, well, you should at least try to raise the amount that the bike is worth. So I like to have goals. So right now I think we're probably somewhere around $700 and we have lots more tickets to sell. So we
720 to be exact.
Yeah. So, you know, I like to set goals, and that's what I did with the Chafe in the I raised at least $4,000. That was my plan, at least. So I'd like to raise at least $1,650 with the raffle. So, you can get them at Idaho Poor Authority, Sandpoint Sports, Alpine Shop, Greasy Fingers, and All Seasons Gardens.
And from Michelle Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can, I have tickets.
You can Facebook her and she'll, like, you know, she'll send
I'll be at your door with tickets.
Okay, we're going to let, and I think I'm going to skip the next song and go to the Elvis Presley song. Mm-hmm. On this date in music history, the Beatles in 1965, 50 years ago, met Elvis Presley. So I tried to track down a 1965 hit by Elvis Presley. And we're going to play that. By the way, if you haven't been over to the post office, the new Elvis Presley stamps are out, and they are wonderful. But here is Elvis Presley, his 1965 hit, Crying in the Chapel. Oh, my goodness. And then we're going to go with Michelle for a little bit longer. Vicki, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you. And here's Elvis. 50 years ago today, they met the Beatles.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
That is Elvis Presley singing Crying in the Chapel, his number, I don't know if it was a number one hit back in 1965, but on this date, August 27th in 1965, Elvis Presley played host to the Beatles in his Bel Air, California home. And talk about a meeting of icons.
Yeah.
Musical icons. Just incredible.
I know the Beatles admired Elvis a great deal, but I'm not sure that that went both ways, from what I understand.
I don't know if early Beatles covered any Elvis Presley songs. I'd have to think about it. But boy, they were really big fans, like of Chuck Berry and early rhythm and blues. And, you know, they built their chops on American rhythm and blues. And I know that they admired, like, Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis Presley, early rock and roll, Gene Vincent and Eddie Cochran. I don't know if it went both ways, but it's sort of fascinating to think about what the conversation went like back on this date in 1965. But on this date in 2015, Michelle Murphy is with us. And Michelle is with the Edible Schoolyard Garden Project. And we've had a dwindling factor here. Perky left and Vicki left. And now it's just you, Michelle. One more time. What will the students be doing when they come back from their summer holiday in the gardens?
It's going to be really exciting because they planted in the springtime. And so they probably, I think some of them stopped by a couple times to check on their garden, but now coming back, it's going to be really exciting at Farm and Stidwell because last spring they planted their garden. So this was the first year for Farm and Stidwell. So I think it's going to be a great day. I think that I'll show up when they come back to school and look at their garden and see what they've planted and how it's grown, you know, just from the little teeny tiny seed has turned into just this bountiful garden.
Oh, how wonderful. Now, you mentioned there's one elementary school in the school district that has not. Are there plans to get that school going?
I think so. I think the Elks are going to write a grant to see if we can go into Sagal. And we've already identified a location that is close to water, thankfully. That's always been important. Such a huge challenge. At Farm and Stidwell last year, I think I mentioned last time I was on, we could not find a location that was next to a water source. And I thought for a while there that I wonder if this garden is even going to happen. And then we identified a perfect spot. But the problem was that the water was quite a ways away, and we had to tunnel under the sidewalk and the asphalt, which would have been cost prohibitive. So Three Amigos Plumbing volunteered to come in with their huge, I don't know what you call it, an excavator or something like that, and tunneled under there so that we could get water to our garden. So they saved the day. But it's going to be really exciting for the kids to come back after their summer vacation to see what their garden is looking like.
What it sounds like when you mention Three Amigos, another, you know, just simply stable organization and business here in the community, that the community garden, the Edible Schoolyard Garden Project, has received a lot of support from different businesses and individuals. And without that support.
Oh, right. And the other nonprofits, and like Cal gave us a grant, Equinox gave us a grant, PAFE gave us a grant, Home Depot gave us a grant. I mean, it's just like, you know, people, it's like if you give them an opportunity to do something positive for our children, they step up and do it.
It's a win. We're here with Michelle Murfree. And one more time, the bike that Vicki has offered up for raffle. The raffle is going to take place on the Ides of September, September 15th. And I don't know if September has, not every month has an Ides. I learned
and sometimes
that.
Sometimes it's the 13th.
Sometimes it's the 13th, but I don't know. But on September 15th, the raffle will take place. Michelle, one more time, can you talk about where tickets can be purchased?
Right. And Vicki just set the bar for us, too. I think that we're at about $700 right now. The value of the bike is $1,650. So we've got a little ways to go. We want to raise the value of the bike. So you can buy tickets at All Seasons, Idaho Poor Authority, Greasy Fingers, Alpine Shop, and Sandpoint Sports.
And you.
And me. So.
Absolutely. Michelle, it's always great. I mean, and I can understand, you know, when you come into the station here, the energy level just picks up. And I imagine you're that way with the garden and the students and administrators and teachers just love you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just so great to be here and so great to see you guys. So thanks for all that you've done for us and all your great compliments and your support. And
Is there anything else? We've got the raffle going on. If somebody out there is listening and wants to help out in another way, is there any? Do you need supplies? Do you need volunteers or anything?
Sure,
or
I would encourage them to call the school district and we can take it from there. So we can always use supplies. We can always use seeds. So yeah, we can use volunteers. So we'd just like to get the community involved as much as possible. So that's a great question. Thanks for asking.
Yeah,
and I want to thank Michelle for the pears. Brought in. Thank you so much. And are we going to play a song, or are we just going to go into community events?
I think we got time for that, for a song. It's appropriate anyway.
Which one?
David Gans.
Well, that's right? A four-minute song, but if you want, we can bring it down and start talking over David Gans. David Gans is the host of the Grateful Dead Hour at 9 o'clock on Saturday nights at 88.5 KRFY. And he released an album, and one of the songs is called Bounty of the County, and it's about going to the farmer's market and just seeing the bounty of the county. Thank you, Michelle. Always good to see you.
Oh, thank you.
David Gantz, the bounty of the county here on 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And speaking of the bounty of the county, this Saturday, the farmer's market, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Farman Park in downtown Sandpoint. And this Saturday, Kathy Colton will be providing the music.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
That's nice to have her back in town.
Absolutely. So that's the bounty of the county. And let me tell you, at this time of year, gardens are producing. It's beautiful.
Is the corn in? Do you know?
The corn. Hello. The corn man is there. And we have been just gobbling it up. It is very good this year. Coming up events tonight at Evans Brothers Coffee, Yappy Hour, a tail wagon good time. This is one of the great events that the Panhandle Animal Shelter provides. Live music, beverages, and fun, 4 to 7 at Evans Brothers Coffee, 524 Church Street. Bring your socially adept animal, preferably the dog, and let it have some good times with other dogs. Let's see. I've got Friday, and you've mainly got Saturday.
That's right.
Jack, let's see. At Idaho Poor Authority, there's going to be live music from 5 to 7 on Friday, the 28th. Pondere Winery from 5:30 to 8:30 will have Gene Mann. That's on this Friday. And on Friday and Saturday, the 28th and 29th at the Heartwood Center, I interviewed the people yesterday from a play that the Unknown Locals is putting on, written by Chris Herron. And it's called No Service. Doors open at 7. The curtains at 7:30. Tickets can be purchased at Eve's Leaves and at the door. It sounds like an interesting play.
What's it about? I missed your interview.
There is the character played by Kate McAllister from the Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce. Everybody knows Kate.
The wonderful Kate McAllister.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. She's dying of an unknown illness, and she sort of becomes an alcohol-ridden recluse in her cabin. And her best friend, Kim, travels to visit her and suggests that she gets together with her estranged daughter. And it takes off from there. Huh. And I guess it's, I think there are four roles in there, all women, and written by Chris. And we had a great conversation yesterday about writing women's roles, especially mm-hmm. when he's male and things mm-hmm. like that. But it seems like it's a crackerjack performance. So it's going to run this Friday and Saturday and next Friday and Saturday at the Heartwood Center called No Service.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Let's support local playwrights and performers.
I'll say. You know, I got Saturday here coming up on Saturday. There is the usual used book sale at the Bonner Mall. And there's also one big event going on at the library and then at the Panetta Theater, Sandemonium. It's North Idaho's first Comic-Con style event. It starts at the Sandpoint Library from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There will be a cosplay contest. That's costume dress-up contest. There will be vendors, an artist's alley, workshops, panels, and more. Attendees are encouraged to suit up as their favorite comic book superhero or video game or movie character. There will be prizes ready for the best in both store-bought and homemade costumes. They should also be ready to be creative with a celebration of fandom communities, including artwork, fiction, and music. There's going to be a lot of entertainment and educational process content, this being the library. And this is the first time anyone's tried this here in Sandpoint, and it should be a very interesting time.
Which comic book character would you come as, Jack?
I don't know. I guess I would be... I don't have much in the way of costumes at my house. I could go as Clark Kent, probably.
Ah, I think I but could you'd wear need that. A telephone booth in order to change into.
Yes. I don't have the full Superman costume, but I can I can put on a jacket and tie if I have to, and a hat and some spectacles. For more information, go call the library at 263-6930, extension 1204. Ask for Marcy or show up tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the library. Also going on this weekend, the Summer Sounds series continues after the Sandpoint Farmers Market. Kathy Colton is going to be making her way downtown, and
she's everywhere. She's everywhere.
She's playing from 4 to 6 at the corner of Cedar and First, with the Reluctance on the Park Place stage. That's right in front of Arlo's and the there's that cool mural there.
It's by Doug Jones.
Yeah, it's a great little. Great Eve's little venue. Leaves. And right across from us. Also going on, more music at the Idaho Poor Authority from 5 to 7. And then again, the Pondere Winery is hosting music with the Monarch Mountain Band.
Yay. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, that would be the 30th, the last Sunday in August, there is going to be a Trout and About Festival at the Eureka Center Annex at the Greenery. That's on Oak Street, and it's hosted by Trout Unlimited, where you can listen to great music. Children can socialize, learn some fun facts about trout, and dance. They can dance it up and have fun. Doors open at 11, and the Whiz Pops, they're from, I think, Missoula, are going to start at mm-hmm. noon. They're just a great educational and fun activity. There's going to be food and beverages available. Jupiter Jane Cafe will be open. Icark's Pub will be providing some refreshments. More information, you can go to panhandletu.org or contact Reg at panhandletu.org. This is an important event to learn about mm-hmm. the environment, to learn about the importance of fish, and this is just a great time to get out and do something with your children.
Tomorrow morning, lest we forget, you are interviewing Bob Over and Mandy Evans.
That's right.
About
That's right.
the upcoming North Idaho nonprofit retreat. You can tune in for more information right here on 88.5 KRFY tomorrow morning at 8. There you go. And one more thing, this from our neighbors down the hall, the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, who are, they are friends of Scotchman Peaks and understandably worried about their dear friend, the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness area. The Friends of Scotchman Peaks are calling for volunteers. They have received word that the Lakeside Restaurant and Motel in Trout Creek needs help feeding the numerous firefighters stationed there. They will need around 5 volunteers each evening from 7:30 to 11 p.m. This is over in Trout Creek, Montana. And then there will be a morning shift starting at around 3:30 a.m. So unusual hours, but you would be doing good work if you can volunteer to go help feed the firefighters over staying at the Lakeside Restaurant and Motel in Trout Creek, Montana. If you will be able to help, call the Lakeside Restaurant directly at 827-4458. I'm sorry, that's a 406 number. So 406-827-4458.
And I think it's important that we help those who are helping us. Mm-hmm. I think Perky mentioned that there's like 5 fires that are being fought out of Trout Creek, and the importance of supporting those firefighters mm-hmm. who are putting their lives on the line for property and for other people, and you know, the animals too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what do the animals do? I think about the big elk herd in Clark Fork. Mm-hmm. You know, where do they go? All the animals.
And I think, I mean, there is no backup that has yet to be called. You know, there's every firefighter, almost every wilderness firefighter in the country is currently busy.
Absolutely.
You know, so if we don't step up and volunteer here, it's not like this is work that's going to get done. I imagine they'll eat cereal and granola bars, but it would be nice if we could
to see community support. And if mm-hmm. you want more information, contact the Friends of Scotchman Peaks here at 323 North First Avenue for more information.
If you don't want to make that trip out there or volunteer for the full length, you can still you could bring a homemade baked good out there. It'd be very appreciated. You can also drop it off here at the Friends of Scotchman Peaks office, again, 323 First Avenue in Sandpoint, and the Friends of Scotchman Peaks will run it down there for you when they go out this weekend. You can also find them on Facebook for more information about that. And we are about out of time.
Jack, it's always been good. And yeah. Thanks again to Michelle, Vicky, and Perky from the Edible Schoolyard Garden Project. They're doing a great job. Thanks so much for coming in for the interviews.
Stay tuned for Bird Note and the Isles Eclectic Mix all day long right here on 88.5 KRFY Panhandle Community Radio.